you heard of Angela Young? Well, she recently summited Mount Everest from the Tibet side, which is the north side. And I understand that that's the more difficult side to climb Mount Everest. And that was on May the 24th. It was part of her mission to raise awareness for gender-based violence in South Africa. Alongside her climb, she collected 8,849 bras, one for every meter of Everest that she climbed. And this was a way to restore dignity to survivors through her Impilo Collection Foundation. Everest is an incredible feat, and joining me on the line is Angela. Angela, thanks so much for chatting with me on the home run. What was going through your heart and your mind when you finally reached the top?
Hi, Paula. Thank you so much for having me. I think people fantasize when you get to the top of Everest, 8,849 meters. You must be so excited and incredible achievement. Yes, that's actually true. But at the same time,
you're just
it's
trying
so
to breathe.
Yes, exactly. It was so hostile, and your physical and emotional, it just really...
What's hostile? The weather?
The wind. The wind was so strong. And it's minus 35 when I reached to the top. So
was it a bit disappointing?
Survival. It was really survival. I think the moment that you get to the top, you just want to take out the bra, because I'm climbing for gender-based violence. I took out the bra and I took that picture. And my shepherd says, we have to go, you know.
And so how long do you actually spend on the top?
It's 5 minutes, maximum 8 minutes. You climb 40 days. 40 days. You get there. You can only stay for so little time.
Why?
It's because you could actually have frostbite.
Is it that cold? Wow.
Yes. It's extreme cold.
You didn't just climb. I mean, you were talking now about taking out the bra. You didn't just climb for personal glory. You also came down and delivered donations to children in remote Himalayan villages. And at the same time, you were climbing to raise attention and awareness to gender-based violence in South Africa. Can you tell me a little bit more about both of those?
Yeah, so like I said, when you get to the top, actually just halfway, you know, it's just halfway. And actually coming down was actually more difficult than climbing up.
Why?
So I felt coming down, it's very dangerous. And especially on the north side, we don't have rescue. And the environment in the north side is much harder. And it's less commercial. The wind is, like I say, it was brutal. And
what made you decide to do the north side then? I mean, you haven't given me one good reason.
So because it's so hard, so that's less people. It's less traffic, because you only so little time you can summit Everest. So if it's too many people on that side, like the south side, you have more chances of injury.
Okay.
So like I say, coming down, it's any time you can actually encounter injury. So coming back down, I felt it was my responsibility to giving back and telling the people in the villages, we're not just here to climb your mountain, we're actually here also giving back, and we care as well. Some of the girls and children have to walk 2 to 3 hours to get to school. They don't have proper shoes and they don't have proper clothes. So I felt for us, being part of South Africa, we're there to also show them we care.
So what did you actually give them?
We have we packed stationery, shoes and clothing for them, some of the books so they can do colouring as well. A lot of interaction, like so I did some like African line dance with them. So it's just really something to celebrate. It's not just, it was collective power. It wasn't just about me climbing.
You know, you mentioned your Sherpa, and I always wonder about that. Now, please take this from where it comes. I have never climbed a mountain, and I have no intention to. But, you know, it's such a fantastic achievement, and yet these Sherpas, if I'm not mistaken, go up and down the mountain all the time. Am I right?
Yes. They are superhuman. But at the same time, they're also quite harsh because they're making sure that we climb and get to the top and with enough oxygen supply. So they could be quite harsh towards us because if you don't survive in that period of time, not enough oxygen, you could actually die there.
And are they taking all these precautions and oxygen and everything they insist you take, are they taking it as well, or are they already acclimatized and don't need it?
Yes. So get to 7,000 meters, any human being would need oxygen because when you get to the death zone, your body will shut down and there's no, that we don't even produce any red blood cells. So anybody would need oxygen to get up. So they are superhuman, but I think, you know, they also need to take the precautions to be mm-hmm. able to alive, to survive, and that's how they support us.
What was the most challenging moment for you?
I think get to the death zone, seeing bodies lying there, you ask yourself that questions like, would that be me? So that was very harsh.
Is it true that what I've seen pictures of, that because it's so cold, the bodies are there for years and years and years? I mean, forever, yes. Actually.
Yes. It's very demanding to actually bring people, especially body, the dead weight, to come down. So people are lying there, the body lying there for many years. There's 200 bodies still remain on Everest, and there's no way that they can bring the body down.
Wow. Angela, and then I mentioned earlier collecting 8,849 bras for every meter of Everest. Where did that idea come from, and what is the campaign behind that about?
Yes, so when I... one of the distribution we went to go and give out the sanitary pads, and the girls came up to me and say, next time when you come, can you bring us some bras? So that I realized perpetrators see that as an invitation of sexual attention. That's why
they see what as an invitation that these girls don't have bras.
Yes, so that's where gender-based violence started in the informal settlement. So that time I went back and do a research and realized there was 2,700 women die from gender-based violence that year. And those are the numbers that every year is thousands and thousands.
That's only in South Africa, right?
Yes, exactly. So that's why I said to myself, let me collect 2,700 bras to commemorate those ladies. But we came back with 6,200 bras that year. And we display all those bras at the Constitutional Hill. So that's where so I climbed to 6,200 meters that year to Island Peak in the Himalaya. That's how the idea came. I would get to the top of the world. At the same time, the collective power of everybody drop off a bra, pay 25 rand for a new bra, that will contribute to the survival of gender-based violence.
That's very beautiful and very sad. Angela, what's the next mountain you're climbing or the next cause that you are drawing attention to?
I think Antarctica is on the table, but I think I really wanted to get all the bras together. We're going to have an exhibition around the country in 9 provinces to raise awareness in the 16 days of activism. And if anybody would like to contribute or support us, that would be really great.
And who is us?
Us, our Impilo Collection Foundation, And our website is www.impilofoundation.org.
Fantastic. Well, there you have it. Anybody that's keen on supporting the Impilo Collection Foundation. And Angela, you're looking for any partners to climb the next mountain or go to the Antarctica with? I'm not going to suggest myself, but if anybody's keen, I'll put it out there as a challenge and an invitation that they can reach you on the website as well. Okay.
Yes, thanks, Paula.
That's Angela Young, who has just climbed Mount Everest from the Tibet side for gender-based violence and also drawing attention to her Impilo Collection Foundation that you're welcome to donate to. Thanks for joining us.